At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Youmans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Big night here on VSiN. NFL draft special kicked off by Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel, followed by Femi Abebefe and Michael Lombardi. Wes Reynolds and I wrapping it up. We finished off the first round, Wes, on our show here on VSiN Tonight. We got the first round in the books, and we look ahead to the second round, but we're going to recap some of the highlights and the betting highs and lows from the first round of the NFL draft tonight. If you believed that all the hype about the quarterbacks was hot air, well, take the loss and move on, because 4.5 quarterbacks in that prop, a lot of public money and a lot of sharp money over the number of 4.5 and 6 off the board in the first 12 picks. I don't think any of us are shocked that it was 6. I expected 5.
That's
but
what
Wes,
I expected too.
6 in the top 12?
Yeah.
Michael Penix, 8. J.J. McCarthy at 10. And then Bo Nix at 12. I think it's shocking to see Penix at 8 and Nix at 12.
Yeah, look, there's some people that thought McCarthy was going to go sooner than 10. That he was going to go maybe in the top 4.
Hey, if J.J. McCarthy went 3rd to the Patriots, I would not have been surprised.
No, I would not have been either. And, you know, there were a little bit of market move toward that direction. But, yeah, Michael Penix going 8 and also Bo Nix going 12. Michael Penix going in the first round did not surprise me. I thought he was going to be the 5th. Quarterback picked, and I thought it was going to be 5, and that maybe Bo Nix was going to be that first pick in the second round. You were going to see teams maybe maneuvering or potentially trading in late in the first round to grab him at like 31 or 32. But yeah, I was surprised to see Bo Nix go 12. But I think obviously the bombshell of the night was Michael Penix going to the Atlanta Falcons when you just gave a quarterback and Kirk Cousins a guaranteed $90 million.
Well, here we go. Terry Fontenot is the GM of the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris is the new coach. This is what Fontenot said about the Falcons drafting Michael Penix at number 8. And remember, Kirk Cousins, signed by Atlanta Falcons and given $90 million guaranteed, and that's why this is such a mystery move by the Falcons. Terry Fontenot's quote, "If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years... That's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position."
I'm just reading this at the same time that you were reading it
aloud.
So it's
as simple as if you see a guy you believe in at that position, you have to take him. But the highlight here is if he sits for 4 or 5 years, you don't take a guy number 8 overall to sit for 4 or 5 years.
No. Oh,
or
my.
You don't take a guy number 8 overall to sit for 2 years or 3 years.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. So the Falcons are going to get a failing grade by a lot of draft graders tonight. Not that that means a whole lot, but I think that's a layup that the Falcons did not get value for what they were picking at number 8. So you take a look at the top 8 picks of the draft: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Joe Alt. No surprises really in the top 5. Malik Nabers, wide receiver to the Giants at 6. J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama, to the Titans at 7.
I think the top 7, no surprises. Pretty much boilerplate there.
Number 8 is where the chaos was triggered, and that was by the Atlanta Falcons taking Michael Penix, and then you started to see a lot of surprise picks after that. But number 8 is where all hell started to break loose in this draft tonight, and it just didn't make sense. So the Bears have 2 picks in the top 10. They get Rome Odunze, wide receiver from Washington, at number 9. The Vikings trade up 1 spot with the Jets. J.J. McCarthy is the Vikings pick at 10. Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle from Penn State, to the Jets at 11. I like that pick for the Jets. Bo Nix to the Broncos at number 12. So Sean Payton obviously sees himself as a quarterback whisperer, a genius. He said, I saw Patrick Mahomes before anyone else did, but the Chiefs stole him from me in that draft that year. and he has Adam Schefter put out the tweet tonight to do his PR work for him.
Sean Payton, when he says that, sounds like every damn parlay better that we've ever seen in Circa Sportsbook or any sports book across the Las Vegas Valley. You know, when you go in and you're watching games and you go to use the restroom and you hear guys talking, you just listen and they're like, man, I hit 5 of my 6.
Yep.
I was 1 point away. Well, it's like, well, you don't get partial credit.
That's why parlays pay off those kinds of odds.
Yes.
How about Brock Bowers to the Raiders, tight end at number 13? And that's one where the Raiders are going to sell, and they have been selling to the media tonight. Well, that's the best player available. It's not a need for the Raiders at number 13, but they took a tight end that they think is going to be a real weapon in their offense. Wes, I don't love the pick. I don't hate the pick. I'm actually okay with the Raiders taking Brock Bowers at number 13. I think I fall somewhere in the middle on this one. How about you?
Well, they probably get saved a little bit because all the scrutiny is clearly going to come to the Atlanta Falcons, so the Raiders probably will get a little bit of a pass.
Well, the Broncos pick right before, it's a little bit puzzling too.
Right.
With
right,
Bo Nix.
Right. So you know, who do you anticipate is going to start in Denver at the start of the season? Is it going to be Jarrett Stidham? Is it going to be Zach Wilson? Or is it going to be the rookie right away?
So. We'll see here. The Broncos have a 3-horse race. For a quarterback. Now with Stidham, Wilson, and Nix. The Raiders right now have a 2-horse race, and it's Aiden O'Connell, the rookie, and the quarterback they traded, acquired from the Colts.
Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew, yeah, name escaped me there for a minute. Minshew and O'Connell are going to be in the 2-horse race for the Raiders' starting quarterback job. Is there something out there the Raiders can do to pick up another quarterback? Is there a veteran out there? There's something they can do before the season, or is it going to be Gardner Minshew, the favorite to be the starter, Aiden O'Connell competing for the job? I think at number 13, the Raiders were going to take Michael Penix.
Yeah, because there's
a lot of signs are pointing that direction.
Yeah, there seemingly was a lot of smoke there that they were going to go ahead and do that, because the speculation a couple weeks ago was like, hey, he might be there at number 33. You know, their first pick of the second round. That did not happen. So yeah, I believe that they were probably going to do that, and certainly didn't think that they were going to have to trade up, because I think that they knew Minnesota, wherever they were going to be, they were going to get McCarthy. And the fact that it didn't seem like the Broncos, they were either going to draft Nix or they were going to trade down and see if they could get him a few picks later. But nobody was targeting Penix, or so they thought.
All right, Wes, so we've talked about how this is a fantasy football type draft. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, all offensive players. The first defensive player off the board to your Indianapolis Colts by Atu Leitu, the edge rusher from UCLA at number 15. Like the player a lot. Got a little concern about the neck injury.
Apparently, the medical test came back positive, but it's very similar to what Leighton Vander Esch, who just recently retired from the Cowboys, had out of college at Boise State. But Latu apparently had some really good tape. There were some people that actually liked him over Dallas Turner.
I think he's a hell of a player. He's got a ton of pass rush moves. Really talented player, but those neck injuries got a concern.
Well, he fits a need, too, for the Colts here, because they needed a pass rusher. I think that they would have liked Brock Bowers, you know, to get another weapon for their young quarterback, Anthony Richardson. But I think basically it was a good, solid pick for this team, because the Colts really didn't do a lot in free agency. They re-signed who they have. They've got one of the best defensive tackle duos in football with DeForest Buckner and then, of course, Grover Stewart. So they needed that pass rush, because the sack numbers went up, But it still wasn't a good enough pass rush, because if you watch the Colts in enough games last year, they were in some shootouts. And the reason why they were in shootouts, not only was the secondary bad, which it still is a work in progress. I expect some work on that in day two and day three. But they couldn't get pressure on the passer. Like the Cleveland Browns, if you remember that shootout game where they kind of got screwed by the referees at the end of the Colts?
Kind of. They really got screwed by the officials.
They did, but they were in that shootout because they couldn't get pressure on the quarterback.
Right. Latu from UCLA to the Colts, number 15. Byron Murphy, 300-pound defensive tackle from Texas. I thought the Bears might take him at number 9. He goes to the Seahawks, number 16. Really good pick for Seattle in that spot. Number 17, the Vikings. I like what they did here. Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama. He goes to the Vikings at number 17. And Dallas Turner projected to be a top 10 pick, Wes, but a lot of people thought the first defensive player off the board in this draft. So I think, you know, it's that word again, value, but I'm going to say the Vikings got it at number 17. The Rams get edge rusher Jared Verse from Florida State at number 19. And then Chop Robinson, edge rusher from Penn State, to the Dolphins at number 21. I like that pick by the Dolphins. The first corner off the board, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, to the Eagles at number 22. And then the Lions take Terrion Arnold, corner from Alabama, at number 24. So you had your mini run on corners there at number 22 and 24. And West, the wide receiver prop at 6.5. It goes over. Three of the final five picks of the first round were wide receivers, including the last two picks.
Yeah,
Seven wide receivers in the first round.
So he had a few different runs on positions. We thought the offensive line would kind of be in the mid-teens, and it certainly was. So, you had a lot of those, and then you had the edge rushers. None go in the top 10, but go in kind of the mid-teens. I like that. I like that pick for the Dolphins, too, and I do think it fits a need because they lose Christian Wilkins. They lose Raekwon Davis. Mm-hmm. So you had to do something with the defensive line. So that was like a necessity that you got to bring in somebody. So I think a solid pick there. And then Fautanu at offensive tackle for the Steelers. That seems like such a Steelers pick, yeah. You know, to get one of those offensive linemen kind of mid to late in the first round. And, you know, some protection for their potential new starting quarterback, Russell Wilson.
All right, so wrapping up the first round, Wes, I talked about three of the final five picks of wide receivers. I think you and I both like this pick. By the Kansas City Chiefs, they move up from 32 to 28, and they get Xavier Worthy, the small speedster from Texas.
Well, I can't teach a guy to run a 4.2 140, and Xavier Worthy can do that. You can teach him, you know, the route tree and how to catch the football better and do different things and position himself more, but you can't teach straight line speed. And I think that's what the Chiefs were looking for, and they were looking for just for some dynamism in their offense, because they didn't really have it last year. It was Mahomes to Kelsey. And, you know, a little bit Rashee Rice late, but they needed somebody dynamic with speed, and I think they found it with Worthy.
All right, we got more on the NFL draft. We'll recap how we did on our bets. And also, we got plenty more coming up on the NBA and the hockey playoffs. Aaron Renning, professional sports bettor from Vegas, is going to join us here in about 15 minutes on the show, so stay tuned for that. The Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, VSiN Tonight, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Welcome back. Wes, I would say the worst performance by a coach GM in the first round that I can remember in recent years was in 2020 when the Raiders took Henry Ruggs, wide receiver from Alabama, at number 12, and Damon Arnett, cornerback from Ohio State, at number 19.
We believe that Brock Bowers has the Uber app on his phone or Lyft app on his phone, unlike Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett.
Well, Brock Bowers is going to be a much better pick than those two guys.
Yes.
Ruggs and Arnett picked 12th and 19th by the Raiders in the 2020 draft. Absolute busts. Two of the worst first-round picks that any team's made in NFL history, when you look back on it. Are the Falcons going to be skewered by the media, kind of like the Raiders should have been for that 2020 tandem of Ruggs and Arnett, for what they did tonight, taking Michael Penix in the top 10?
I believe so, because the quarterback position is obviously going to get the most scrutiny. So, yeah, it absolutely is. But
before we go on in this, you like Penix, and I like Penix. Mm-hmm. So we're not criticizing Michael Penix. But mm-hmm. when you guarantee Kirk Cousins $90 million, why are you taking Michael Penix number 8?
Well, and one of the things, too, apparently this is coming out that from Albert Breer at NFL Network, talking about the fact that this maybe came from the owner, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, that they wanted a young quarterback in the pipeline, and everybody went out there for the workout. Raheem Morris, the head coach, Terry Fontenot, the GM, Zach Robinson, the quarterback coach, and they went out for the workout. And you mentioned Fontenot's quote earlier about, you know, if he sits for 4 to 5 years, that's a good problem to have. It's a terrible problem to have, because you got a guy that's just like sitting there and wants to play. You don't have that luxury,
right?
You know, and that's what baffled me about when this happened. If I were the Falcons, I could have seen them, you know, draft another freaking receiver. You know, they drafted Kyle Pitts. They drafted Drake London.
Right.
Hell, draft another one. Hell, draft Adunze. That would have made more sense.
So you think the Falcons are going to get a failing grade by pretty much all the
amateur professors? I do, and that's,
amateur,
and that's
professors.
Unfortunate for Michael Penix, who, you know, has come back from a ton of injuries. There were people who thought he never would going to play again. Ends up at Washington, leads that program to a national championship game, a defeat at the hands of Michigan. But, you know, this guy worked hard and you know, came back from ACL injuries and shoulder injuries, multiple injuries, and, you know, he's kind of put in a bad spot here, I think. I mean, now he's going to be making a lot of money, and he's making more money getting drafted 8th than he would have drafted in the 20s or the 30s, but still not the ideal situation, at least from a playing or development perspective.
No, and I think what's unfortunate for Penix here is that Mark Davis, the owner of the Raiders, really wanted Penix. From what I understand, what I was told from sources who cover the Raiders, that Penix was the guy Mark Davis wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And Antonio Pierce, the coach, was desperate to trade up for Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
But that's unrealistic that the Raiders are going to give up as much as they would have to give up to trade. And the Commanders didn't want to give up the pick anyway.
Well,
they wanted Daniels. So if you can't get Daniels, Penix is your guy. So, Wes, that would have been a great landing spot for Penix. Las Vegas at number 13, and now the Falcons spoil that for him, too.
Well, this from James Palmer, who I believe was formerly with the NFL Network.
Yes.
And he reported that not only the Raiders, but the Seahawks and the Saints all tried to get into the top 10 for Michael Penix Jr.
Okay.
Which does not surprise me, because I don't think the Saints, you know, quarterback might not have been their first look, but I don't think the Saints are exactly, you know, thinking, hey, okay, Derek Carr is going to be our quarterback for the next 5 or 6 years. So they're clearly looking for a young quarterback. I think Seattle is too. You know, Geno Smith, I don't think, is the long-term answer up there. So that didn't necessarily surprise me. But Atlanta spoils the party for all those three teams.
Well, it spoils the party for Penix too.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Michael Penix, and I know you do, wouldn't he be much better off with the Raiders or the Seahawks than
Absolutely.
He is in this situation in Atlanta
Absolutely.
Where he's going to have to sit behind Kirk Cousins?
Because the most he was probably going to sit was for 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, Because it's easy for the Saints to, you know, get out of that Derek Carr contract. It's easier for the Seahawks to get out of that Geno Smith. And then the Raiders, Gardner Minshew's on a two-year deal.
Raiders and Seahawks jobs are wide open.
Yes, absolutely. Like, he could maybe win it this year or see action this year. That's why I'm saying at most, it's going to be a full season.
Michael Penix might have been the week one starter for the Raiders or the Seahawks. Probably not the Seahawks, but could have been for the Raiders. Who knows? Or at some point in the season. Mm-hmm. And now what's he going to sit, 2 years? Who knows? In Atlanta. Anyway, recap of the best bets. And I put up a column about 8 days ago on vsin.com with 10 best bets. I recap how these did. Now, I'll say in 2023, not so hot. I had a losing draft. A lot of things went wrong. Last year was a small loser. This year, first player drafted, I had Jaden Daniels, minus 320 over Drake May. Laid the big price. Very confident Daniels is going to be the top pick. Don't like to lay that price, but did it. Over 4.5 quarterbacks, minus 170. That closed as high as minus $4 in the market. So minus 170 turned out to be a good price on the over. Team to draft, J.J. McCarthy, Vikings plus 125. That ended up being a winner. Number five overall pick, Joe Alt, offensive tackle from Notre Dame, plus 475. That was a winner. Brock Bowers, draft position, over 11.5, minus 155. Winner, Quinyon Mitchell, draft position over 13.5, minus 125. Pretty easy winner. Jared Verse, draft position over 15.5, minus 175. Winner, position of Jets first draft pick, offensive lineman, plus 120. That won. Position of the Bears second draft pick, offensive line, 9-1 odds, plus 900. That was a loser. Bears went wide receiver with that number 9 pick. And then will the Jaguars first pick be an offensive player? I took yes. Plus 185, and that was a winner. So all winners but one there. Now I put three more plays up this week and hit two of the three. J.J. McCarthy, draft position over 5.5, plus 125. Brian Thomas, draft position over 19.5, minus 175. And then the loser I had was Terrion Arnold, draft position under 15.5, minus 105. He went in the 20s. I thought he might go to the Raiders at number 13 or the Colts at number 15. So very good results there. I think only two losers from all the draft. I might have had one more loser in there somewhere. I had 20-plus draft bets tonight, and I think a total of maybe three losers. So a very profitable NFL draft. And you could say, well, that's why a lot of bookmakers don't like to book this thing. But again, I'll remind you, last year was a losing draft. Mm-hmm. It's not all going to be this profitable, but things turned out very well tonight. Wes, I thought the key point was that number three pick, if the Patriots had taken J.J. McCarthy there, that was going to screw up a lot of things for me. So I was kind of sweating that number three pick. I thought that might be McCarthy. It turned out to be Drake May.
Yeah, no question about it. So good on you for draft. Look, I took a pass on it this year because obviously doing other things, handicapping other things, and the fact that I got behind, and I feel like, man, you're missing numbers. You can't chase numbers. It's not like, okay, if you're betting an NBA total and it's like, well, I missed the under 217.5, but I'll still take the under 216.5 or something like. It's not like that,
right?
Okay, you know, when you miss these things move so quick that, you know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, wave the white flag, and that's kind of what I did this year, even on the draft. Even though I follow it, and you know, I'm kind of a little bit of a draft Nick, like Chuck Esposito, where he said, "I love the draft, I don't love booking it," whereas I love the draft, but I don't necessarily love betting it. So.
And Chuck opened at Red Rock Sportsbook. He opened the quarterback prop 4.5. The favorite was under minus 140, I believe, when Chuck opened it. It closed over minus $4 right in that neighborhood. And again, that was a lot of public money, but a lot of sharp money, too, on the over 4.5 quarterbacks. And Michael Lombardi of VSIN deserves credit. He said a couple days ago it's going to be 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 6 in the first 12. And I'm really surprised there were 6 in the first 12. I thought there'd be 5 in the first round, and maybe the 6th quarterback would come off late first round, but 6 of the first 12 picks.
This is all different now. I mean, it's all offense wins championships anymore, and you could kind of see that not only in the draft, but you could see that in a lot of the coaching hires. How many defensive coordinators are getting hired? Not as many.
Oh, Bill Belichick bypassed by the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. Supposedly, he was not even in their top three.
Not very many. These are all offensive guys, seemingly, that are getting hired. And, you know, if you look at the recent Super Bowls and, you know, you see offensive guy, and that's who basically wins. Reed, Shanahan. The two participants this year, all offensive guys. So, yeah, you don't see a lot of defensive coordinators, or they're either retreads or guys getting their second gig like Raheem Morris did in Atlanta or like Dan Quinn did in Washington. But most of the rest of the coaches were offensive guys.
All right, DraftKings has a prop up for the NFL draft looking at days 2 and 3. Mr. Irrelevant, the position of the last player drafted. And maybe we'll take a crack at that when we take a look at the top games and the best bets on the board for Friday. We'll do that to wrap up the show. On deck, Aaron Renning, professional sports bettor from Vegas, to talk about the NBA playoffs. Stay tuned for ER coming up here next on VSiN Tonight.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, check out VSiN.com right now. You're going to see a column up there by Adam Burke, and the headline is, should you bet against the Chicago White Sox in every game? Well, the answer would be yes. Hopefully you've been doing it for the first 25 games, because the White Sox are 3-22, and they have lost 7 in a row. All right, back here on VSiN tonight. It's been an NFL draft special, but we're also talking baseball, NBA, and hockey playoffs as well. We're going to focus on the NBA next, and we welcome in Aaron Renning, professional sports bettor from Vegas. And ER, before we get to the association and what happened tonight and look ahead to the weekend, I know you like to bet the NFL draft too. How did the draft fare for you tonight?
Well, I'm certainly anything but good to be with you guys. Certainly anything but a draft guru, but it's good to know one anyway. But I had a pretty good night with it. Thanks with some of your help, Matt, but I know you had a great night as well. So, I mean, it was crazy, you know, the quarterbacks and all the offensive players certainly seemed to create some teams at the bottom of the first round for defensive guys, but certainly didn't expect everything that happened, but overall it was a good night.
Yeah, 14 offense players off the board before the Colts broke the ice with the first defensive player at number 15. All right, ER, let's talk NBA. Now, tonight I played the Lakers -1 in the first quarter. That went well. Also played the Lakers for the game. Not so well. I should not have counted on the Lakers to do it for four quarters tonight. Did you play the Nuggets-Lakers game? How'd the night turn out for you? And before we turn the page and look ahead to the weekend, what do you make of the Lakers situation down 0-3?
I actually had a good night. I've had a good playoff so far. I was on the Nuggets, and generally that's not a spot where I would look to play them, Matt. And I was pretty confident all game. And yeah, I thought that was actually kind of a bad spot for the Lakers. You know, they had been on the road for 2 weeks. They were down in New Orleans, won those two games. To go to Denver and blow those two games, I just really thought that game two, you're up by 20. LeBron plays great. AD plays great. Russell plays great. They really can't play any better. And to lose that game, and you could just see this team kind of unraveling. You certainly saw that in the second half tonight. So I'll be betting against them again on Saturday. I just, hard to think that this team's going to muster enough to want to get on a plane and go back to Denver.
I believe they were the fourth team ever in the history of the playoffs, the Lakers, to lead at halftime. Or the Nuggets were the fourth team in history to be trailing at halftime in all three playoff games and win all three.
The Lakers, fast starts and fading in the second half. Go ahead, ER.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Nuggets are a team that are really not going to beat themselves with Joker. They're fundamentally sound, et cetera. And the Lakers are just a team that's going to find a way to beat themselves right now. You can kind of see the dissension with Russell and Coach Ham. I mean, you know, you got to remember that they, you know, playing in the winning the play-in tournament, they played more games than anybody. So, just seems like a team kind of out of gas here.
Aaron Renning, professional sports bettor with us at ER Sports One. Before Wes takes a quick follow-up there. So DraftKings opened Nuggets -2.5. I'm seeing 3 up there on the board too. for the fourth game on Saturday night. Did you play the Nuggets yet? You said you plan to play them in game four?
I haven't bet it yet, but I intend to bet it for something. I got to wait a little bit for the market to settle. But, yeah, I would expect three, certainly at least in this game, you know, moving forward.
ER, let's start with the first game on the board on Friday. 5:30 Eastern start on a Friday. A very weird start for a playoff series. But you're a native of the state of Wisconsin. I'm a native of the state of Indiana. And we've got Milwaukee and the Pacers. This is now 5.5, even up to 6. We know this is obviously assuming Giannis isn't going to play. But Chris Middleton also might be out with an ankle. So Pacers look kind of scared in game one, but they responded very well in game two. What's your outlook for either this game tomorrow or the rest of the series between Milwaukee and Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, certainly being from Wisconsin, it doesn't make me a Bucks fan, and I'm not a Bucks fan in this series. I don't really see Giannis coming back at all this series. I mean, maybe he makes the Willis Reed appearance if he goes to game seven or something like that. But, you know, Cavs are very tough to come back from. And, you know, you saw, you know, the world with Dame Lillard. I mean, great, you know, carried him game one, but boy, he gives a lot back from a defensive perspective in game two. And, you know, I thought I blew it and I didn't, you know, I missed betting Indiana in game one after the line moved, after Giannis was announced out. And, you know, it kind of worked out because I came back with a pretty good bet on Indiana in game two. But, you know, I think it, you know, to me, Indiana certainly has a great chance to win this series. I'm not going to bet this game. Obviously, the Bucks off kind of an embarrassing performance at home, getting a bunch of points. So I'll sit this one out, and we'll see if the Bucks make it a game, but I'll look to play the Pacers in the future game here.
Was that news to you that Wes Reynolds is a native of Indiana? He rarely mentions that on the show.
No, that's the dynamic duo, the endless love between you and Wes.
Hey, let's talk about the T-Wolves and the Suns. And I think you were on the T-Wolves before this series started. How do you feel about the direction of the series now and game three with Phoenix a four-point favorite?
Yeah, I mean, I bet the T-Wolves game one. I have them, you know, the biggest bet that I made in any series was on Minnesota. I couldn't understand it. It's one of those matches, you know how it is, where you have a team where Minnesota was plus money in a series. A little easier to say now. And you wonder what I'm missing, what I'm getting wrong here. You know, I thought Rudy Gobert said it best after the game the other night, you know, just on how these teams develop. And they need time. They need a year to play together, maybe 2 years to play together. Obviously, the Suns don't have that. They just put this team together with Beal, Nurkic, even Durant somewhat joining this team for this one-year run where, you know, Gobert said, hey, we need it last year. We need to figure out what didn't work and did work, and they're certainly figuring out what does work right now. So, yeah, hopefully Minnesota will continue to do well in this series. But, hey, let's be honest, this is the spot for the Suns, but I'm not going to bet them. I have no interest in betting the Phoenix Suns.
ER, the middle game tomorrow, Clippers-Dallas, one apiece. Kawhi returns in game two. Didn't look quite 100%, still listed as questionable for tomorrow. Dallas now out to a 4.5-point favorite roll and 210 on the total. This seems to me, though, I don't know how you feel about it, this seems to be like destined for seven, though. This is going to be just a back-and-forth series between these two.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that. I mean, you know, I did bet the Mavericks in game two, eventually got there. I thought that was just a good spot for them. I do lean to betting the Clippers in the series moving forward, but I didn't bet it, and I don't think I will because I'll be texting Matt in about a week saying, why did I bet Ty Lue to win this series? So it kind of comes down to who do you trust, Ty Lue and James Harden or Kyrie and Jason Kidd? And if you could answer that question, you probably have the winner of the series. Tough question for me to answer.
All right, I want to ask you, is there an answer? What's the answer for the Boston Celtics as 14.5-point home favorites, blowing the game, getting beat at home, upset by the Miami Heat when Jimmy Butler's not on the floor? And I know the Heat buried 23 three-pointers in that game. How do you lose that game at home without Jimmy Butler. And now going to Miami here for game three, do you trust the Celtics as 9-point road favorites?
Well, that's just it. I mean, any team in the NBA goes 23 or 43 from three, they're going to have a great chance to win that game that night. I mean, that's the nature of today's NBA. And, you know, they really turn the tables because the Celtics are a team that love to take 40, 50 three-point shots a game. So I actually did bet Boston here. I thought, and maybe we'll see if it does close 10, I thought it would be double figures. I mean, you know, it's obvious Boston's a top, you know, top power-rated team in the NBA right now. Whether they win the championship remains to be seen. Doesn't mean they're the best team, but, you know, from a talent perspective, essentially a five all-star starters, where Miami Heat maybe has two NBA starters, you know, in this starting lineup right now without Butler. So, you know, remember Boston was up by 34 in game one. I think that's probably a wake-up call that they probably needed in game two. So Miami's not the strongest home court in the world. So we'll see. But I did bet Boston here on the comeback in game three.
Yeah, I got about 30 seconds left. Sixers get on the board tonight with a big performance from Embiid with 50. It's now 2-1. This is on Sunday. They're laying 5.5 to the Knicks. Do you think the Sixers are back in this series?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it was kind of a good in-game halftime bet. You knew Sixers were probably going to come back and win that game. But this looks like 7. I have nowhere to go. I mean, I like both teams. Really good, well-coached teams. So, not really betting much in this series.
All right, ER Sports 1, Aaron Renning, professional handicapper, better from Vegas. ER, I appreciate the time. Good luck this weekend, man.
All right, same to you. Good job, Matt. Thank you.
All right, we will wrap up the show. We're going to take a look at the top games and the best bets on the Friday card when we come back here on VSiN tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All the way through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and much more. Download the DK Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Promo code VSIN. We're going to talk some NBA as we take a look at the top games and the best bets on the Friday card right now.
This is VSiN's Daily Morning Bets. Here's your hosts, Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds.
Bucks and Pacers tied at 1. Wes Reynolds, do you expect the Pacers to go up in this series without the Greek Freak on the floor for the Bucks? Pacers 5.5-point favorites, total of 220.5.
I do expect them to win. I'm not going to lay, much like when we were talking with Aaron Renning previously in the show. I think the price has gotten to kind of a high point here, laying six with the Pacers. So what I may be doing is going prop hunting here, and I may run back Bobby Portis over points. Fell short in the last game, just because if Middleton is going to be out and Giannis more than likely is going to be out, somebody's going to have to score for this team. And, you know, it can't just be Dame. It's good. They're going to have at least a second scorer. And I would trust maybe Bobby Portis off the bench more than I would trust Lopez necessarily. Tyrese Halliburton is another guy maybe you can target under points. You don't want to target under prop because I think he'll get his rebounds and he'll get plenty of assists like he did last game. But when Patrick Beverley is guarding him, he just is very uncomfortable. He has not been comfortable shooting the basketball, and he's kind of been battling that confidence all second half, or at least post All-Star break of the season. So those are a couple prop looks for that game.
All right, the Clippers Mavericks game on Friday night. Dallas is a 4.5-point home favorite, and total is 210. West, this game stayed way under the total in game two, 96-93. Mavericks won that one with Luka Doncic scoring 32. Kawhi Leonard was a little bit off, 15 points in 35 minutes. What do you expect to see in game three?
Yeah, look, Dallas, I don't know if this is their defense is for real, but it's been pretty good over the last couple games and actually down the stretch of the season, even though their metrics season long are really, really terrible. But I'm probably going to end up, even if Kawhi doesn't go, you know, if he doesn't, obviously this is going to go up a little bit. It's certainly accounted for that he's questionable now being up to 4.5. But this is one of those series where it's like expect the unexpected and like go against the grain. And I think Dallas was a good go against the grain in the second game. It's like, oh, Kawhi's back, so now the Clippers become favorites. Well, Dallas, I had 8 points in the second quarter in game number one. I think they shot like 22% in the first half. So they were bound to rebound, and they certainly did. So this would be, this might be a zigzag series. That zigzag didn't work in all across the playoffs, but this might be one of them. So I'd be prone to be on the Clippers here, especially if that gets to five or more.
Suns trying to get on the board against the T-Wolves after dropping the first two in Minneapolis, and Phoenix a 4-point favorite, a total of 206. Do you trust the Suns to win one here in the series?
I don't know, because look at Minnesota's been tougher than these guys. They've just basically out-toughed them. I think Chris Finch has done a really good job putting Jaden McDaniels on Devin Booker, really has kind of taken him away. It's like, okay, we'll let KD get his, but, you know, against Karl Towns, where he can certainly score on Karl Towns. But the rest of the guys have been locking these guys up. But I don't know if I'm going to do anything on the side, Matt, but I think game number one, if I recall, was like 215.5 on the total, and both the games have gone under, and now you're seeing as low as 206 in the market. And it was very similar to what we played with the Thunder and the Pelicans last night, where it's like it goes down with one game and then it eventually went over the total. I think this is the buy low spot actually on the over between the T-Wolves and the Suns.
T-Wolves won the first two games by 25 and 12 points. You got to think a veteran team like the Suns, this would be a spot
shoot
where
better at home. Now
shoot better at home, bounce back, get the win. That's what you would expect. I'm not sure I trust Phoenix to do that.
Now, Grayson Allen is questionable because he left game two early with the ankle injury. But if he doesn't go, then that means you're going to have to see Eric Gordon and Royce O'Neal and these guys off the bench make threes. And Brad Beal's got to be better, too. It can't just be all KD here. Devin Booker's probably not going to give you the usual output just with that tough defensive matchup with McDaniels on him.
All right, let's go to the Stanley Cup playoffs. Weston, we got actually four games on the card on Friday. I'm not sure how many bets you're going to have, but let's talk about the Oilers-Kings game. Edmonton, a minus 125 road favorite, total 6.5.
You know, the easy play really seems to be the over here because both of these games, 11 total goals in game one when the total closed 5.5. Game two adjusted to 6, and there were 9 goals scored. So now you're at 6.5. And do I, you know, kind of hold my nose and go against the grain here? Because it seems like Mr. Obvious to go with the over here. Edmonton does blow a game at home, which we thought that they might, even though I think that they're the best team in the West. But they'll give a game away every now and again, and I think they did in game number two. So they're small favorites, about $1.30 across the board. I may be going with the under 6.5 here, you know, just kind of going against it here. Pivotal game three where it's tied, that, you know, you might see the teams being a little bit gun-shy earlier, a little bit more conservative early, kind of afraid of making a mistake. So even though these two games have soared over the total, this might be where I take my stand here at 6.5 and go under.
Okay, let's go to baseball. And you're going to see the column up if you go to vsin.com right now. Should you be betting against the Chicago White Sox every day? Well, hopefully you have been and don't start now. But they're 3-22 on the season. 7 straight losses for the White Sox. Let's go ahead and talk about that game on Friday. Tampa Bay Rays are on the south side of Chicago. Zach Eflin, the starter, -222. For Chris Flexen, the starter for the White Sox. Wes, if you want to lay the 1.5 with the Rays, -1.5 at -130 or so, is that the way you would play it? Do you feel like a fool for not betting against the White Sox every day up to this point?
I do, but now that it's out there and people are you know, pieces right. are being published
are
on
you
this.
Too late to the party?
Yeah,
at this
don't be too late for the party, too early for the funeral, as Will Hill likes to say. So, yeah, this is just a team I'm pretty much looking to stay away from at this standpoint.
All right, let's talk about the Padres hosting the Phillies. Good pitching match in this one at Petco Park on Friday night, and that's going to be Aaron Nola against Joe Musgrove. And Musgrove off to a rough start for the Padres this season. Has been a little bit better in his last two starts. We got his ERA of 5.74 and a WHIP over 1.5. But it's Nola Musgrove, and it's a pick'em game -105.
Yeah, nice series for the Phillies in Cincinnati as they got another win today. Bryce Harper, the new daddy, returns to the lineup, hits a home run for the Philadelphia Phillies after he was out for paternity leave. Aaron Nola, 3-1 on the season in 5 starts. He's been a little bit fortunate in terms of like the batting average, balls in play, 217. And we know Musgrove has started kind of rough. This could be a rebound spot, though, for the Padres. Long trek for Philadelphia out to San Diego after having to play Thursday, getaway game day against Cincinnati. So I could certainly see the Padres rebounding here.
All right. Well, that wraps up the look at the top games and the best bets on Friday. Wes, quick recap of the NFL draft tonight, the first round. We did our draft special. We have several hours of coverage here on VSiN tonight. On our show, we appreciate the guests we had on, Mike North from Chicago, Ian Cameron from Canada, and Aaron Renning from Vegas. North, Cameron, and Renning on the show with us tonight. And previous to that, several hours of NFL draft coverage. The talking point, the headline is going to be what the Bears did in the first round. They got our quarterback wide receiver combination, 6 quarterbacks in the top 12 picks, and the Falcons taking Michael Penix at number 8. And again, this is not to be negative about Penix, because the Seahawks wanted him, the Raiders wanted him, the Falcons take him to number 8. It's a luxury item for the Falcons, who've already got a quarterback with $90 million guaranteed in Kirk Cousins. I think the bottom line is you feel a little bit bad for Michael Penix, because he could have been a starter in Las Vegas or Seattle, and now he's got to sit in Atlanta and hear all this criticism about the Falcons' draft
pick. If the reports are true that Seattle, New Orleans, and Las Vegas were trying to trade up to get to the top 10, Michael Penix was only going to maybe be able to sit, max 1 year behind a Derek Carr, a Geno Smith, or potentially a Gardner Minshew here in Las Vegas, and now having to perhaps sit longer. Yeah, that was a baffling selection from the Atlanta Falcons at number 8. But I think the winners, obviously the Bears are going to be perceived as a winner. It's hard to screw up when you have 2 top 10 picks. You get a quarterback, you get a big-time receiver. I like what the Minnesota Vikings did,
too.
Getting a future quarterback with J.J. McCarthy. And then I think getting the value pick, which I think was kind of the steal of the draft, getting Dallas Turner at 17 when we thought he was maybe going to go as high as 10 picks higher.
Yeah, the prop bets on the draft turned out pretty well for me tonight. And hopefully for most of those who bet the draft. And plenty of content up there on our website at vsin.com. I'll be on with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard at 4:45 or 4:30 Pacific this morning to talk more about the NFL draft. Stay tuned. The Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.